Jesus responds to questions about his identity with the remarkable claim that he and the Father are one. Those who understand this are his sheep. They hear his voice, follow, and will never be snatched from his hand. The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Easter is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and every year the fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. You might have noticed when you came in this morning, the narthex looked a little different, a different greeter out there, a sheep. Reminding us that we are followers of the shepherd. And so today I thought I'd spend a little time with Psalm 23. Every year, Psalm 23 is one of the readings for this Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's without a doubt the most familiar of all the Psalms. And one we probably know quite well. However, as with all things that become very familiar, after a while, maybe we need to look at them in kind of a new way. And so today I'd like to just pull a few words out of that familiar psalm, words that maybe can speak to us today in a new way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Let's stop there for a second. If Kari could put up a slide for me, the first word today is lie down. The Lord makes me lie down. Okay, we have a picture of Thor. Thor is my future son-in-law Arnie's dog. Thor likes to lay in the sun. Now, I have a small sitting room upstairs next to the dining room that has a south-facing window, and during the day, there is where you'll find Thor. So this is probably him right now at home. This was taken a couple of days ago. Notice how he is lying. The Hebrew word for lie is actually closer to sprawl. The Lord makes me sprawl down in green pastures. Now, when you sprawl like that, you are basking. Every inch of you is being exposed to the warmth of that sun in the window. You are completely vulnerable. You are completely comfortable and relaxed. That's what this psalm means by "He makes me sprawl down in green pastures." Maybe we don't know how to do that anymore. Maybe we should look at the dogs for advice. and leads me beside still waters. That's a rather interesting image for water in the Psalms. Most of the time when we encounter water imagery in the Psalms, it has a very different meaning. Psalm 69 is typical. The waters have come up to my neck. I am sinking. I have come into deep waters, and the torrent washes over me. In the Psalms, water imagery is usually meaning that we are soon going to lose our life. We are not only up to our neck in water, but we are now being washed out into the depths. We're going to be lost. We're going to die. But not in Psalm 23. Leads me beside still waters. Just as Thor can lay there in comfort, there's no chaotic threat around him. You guide me along right pathways. That's an interesting image. Now, North Dakota is known for some straight roads. In my first parish in Litchfield, it was right off Highway 46. Highway 46 starts south of Jamestown on 281 by Edgeley, and it runs all the way east to I-29. It's the straightest road in North Dakota. But even that road has a couple of what you would call correction lines. Straight roads seem to have that. After a while, there has to be a correction because of the curvature of the earth. So maybe that tells us that we cannot have straight roads on our own, but rather we are given this right pathway. And the right pathway will have twists and turns and ups and downs. And not only do we, after reading about being on a right pathway, find ourselves now with those twists and turns and ups and downs. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right away there's twists and turns and ups and downs. But it's okay. We can still bask like Thor in the warmth of that sun, sprawled out. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod is an instrument of defense and protection. So we have, on the one hand, a God who is protecting us, keeping us from that which would devour us. And then in the other hand, this staff that has the crook. Because you and I realize that in our lives we get off track. Even me, a person of routine, who usually is in the same rut day after day, I also need to be brought back. We all do. We have a God that does that. The last word I'll focus on today is in the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, follow is a very weak translation of the Hebrew word. Actually, it's more pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. God is not following us behind us somewhere. No, God is pursuing us, chasing us, wanting us to be brought into this goodness and mercy. Even though we try and spend so much of our time in life getting away on our own pathways. Today, as we close, we find ourselves in the gospel. And Jesus is now in Jerusalem. He is walking in the temple. And it's interesting, he's walking in Solomon's portico. Solomon, the one of wisdom. And here is the embodiment of wisdom walking in that portico. There's one other interesting thing for me in the text. It was winter. Jesus, the embodiment of wisdom, the embodiment of life, of all of that newness and freshness, encounters people stuck in the winter. He is with them in this place of wisdom, in this portico, but he can't move them out of winter. Are you the Messiah? Don't keep us in suspense. Tell us plainly if you are. And Jesus says, I have told you and told you and told you. So why? Why are they stuck in winter? Because they think that the law will save them. And they're mad at this Jesus because this Jesus, what? Healed the blind man on the Sabbath, which was forbidden to do. Even though he brought the blind man life that day, they couldn't see it. Maybe today we need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. And in this craziness and chaoticness of life, maybe we need to be like Thor. Find a sunny window someplace, sprawl out. Be as vulnerable and as comfortable as you can. And then just sprawl there a while, basking in God's grace, knowing that you're always being pursued, chased by goodness and mercy, by a God who will not let you or I go. Thanks be to God. Amen.